This is CliffCentral.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Futurology Show. Unfortunately, B2 is off ill today, or I'm actually checking the schedule to see what sports is on or something like that, because the cough wasn't that convincing, but yeah, get better soon, buddy. Well, we've got a very interesting show today. I actually have two guests from two very different spaces in the digital and tech world. But before we get to that, as usual, I have found my app for the week. And the one that I found this week was based on all the hype that's going on at the moment about Showmax and Netflix and all these other things and what everyone's trying to do to block it and unblock it. And not that we're advocating any VPN usage or anything like that. But the app that I found is called Yidio, which is Y-I-D-I-O. I can break into a song. Y-I-D-I-O. And what it does, it's really, really cool, is it lets you search for the show that you're looking for, the series that you're looking for on demand TV, and then it tells you which network. So, for example, if you have got Netflix and you have got Hulu and you've got the CN, let's say, for example, you can type into it the Vampire Diaries, and it will find it and show you where. It will show you if there's a cost, and you can subscribe to it straight away. So, very cool if we're coming into winter and everyone's moving into pay TV. So just remember that, Yidio. Right, so for my first guest, in fact, you know what, I'm going to do a little bit different. I'm going to introduce both the guys because I'm sure we're going to get a little bit of a three-way going here. I mean, we spent a few minutes together outside. We've got past it. One of my guests is wearing a T-shirt that says Mobile Slut. So, yeah, we can definitely go straight into a three-way. So on my left, I have Andrew McHenry from Rorotica. How's it, Andrew? How's it going?
Yeah, it's really cool, man. Brett, nice to be on the show. First time with Virgin. Take it easy, eh?
I've had so many virgins this year, and the year is still young. I'm loving radio. B2, you should have been here, another virgin. And then on my other side, I've got Eagle Francisco. How's it going?
Hey, what's up, man? Good to be here.
Cool, man. Right. So, guys, or at least for the listeners, so Andrew, quickly tell me what you do, and then we'll ask Eagle, and then we'll get this baby going.
Okay, I think just for purposes of clarification, Andrew McHenry from Digitata.
Oh,
It's okay. Rorotica, three-way, it's kind of erotica, you know,
going there with the vibe. You see where I was going with this,
You see, I know exactly.
And the slut T-shirt doesn't help.
that's my my non-day job. That's okay. When I'm putting my Mobile Monday hat on. So thanks again for being on the show. But, you know,
it's a pleasure. I'm here every week, but thank you for being on the show.
I was ready for that. But, yeah, a bit of background. I'm obviously been in the mobile space since almost like mobile was invented, so to speak, 20 years odd in this country, and have done everything in between, you know, from the funky, the cool, the wild, the wonderful. And we're doing some really basic stuff right now, USSD. So, question to you, do you even know what USSD stands for, Brett?
I do, Unstructured Services Systematic Data. But drum roll, please. There we go.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you say that we're doing something different, and that's why I wanted you on here, because we're talking about the future, and it's actually quite amazing what USSD does. So I'm going to come back to that now. Igor, from The Newness,
yeah,
correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay, give us a quick, give us that elevator pitch.
Well, you know, okay, let me tell you a bit about myself. I am I'm basically one of those frustrated corporate guys that's just leaving the corporate sector and pursuing something that's much more passionate to me. And it's about democratizing pop culture, really. The Newness is basically an app that gives you access to the inaccessible. It's a social reservation app. So it's both parts. You can reserve items pre-release. So think of, like, you know, those Adidas Boosts or those Yeezys that you've always wanted, and you can't get them because they get sold out in like 30 seconds. You can reserve that pre-release before it comes to market. And on the other side, we also credit people according to, you know, how cool they are, I suppose, and the ability to be early adopters.
Wow. Okay. So, I mean, Futurology then is definitely the right show to start talking about something like this.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's who we have in the studio today. I think the important thing as well is if anyone wants to phone in, it's 0861-555-189, or you can get us on Twitter at cliffcentral.com, Facebook, and WeChat. So any questions for the guys? Maybe we can even start talking about some pre-ordering and pre-reserving. Andrew, I'm going to come back to you quickly because, you know, and I know you've been around in mobile. I think we've both already applied for our old age pension cards and mobility. And we actually need the word mobility for us might actually pertain to us being able to move around. But USSD intrigues me, and it's something that I actually really quite like on the basis that people don't fully understand what USSD does in our day-to-day basis. So, yeah, give us a little bit more overview of some of the applications that people don't actually realize they're using USSD.
Yeah, thanks for the intro on USSD. I think it's been a bearer. Okay, now getting technical. It's basically an access way to access the network. Everyone knows SMS. It's been around since the beginning of time. So if we take it back to making a comparison, I mean, SMS actually was never designed initially when GSM launched to be a commercial product. SMS was actually designed by the network engineers to test and talk to each other while they were building the network out. And look at the success and the uptake and how SMS has been used in ways and wonderful ways and how much money it makes the mobile operators. So taking that back to USSD, okay, I think USSD is probably one of the most underrated bearers that's out there right now. So unstructured supplementary service data, what can you do with it? Really cool stuff. Most people know it, and I got to thank all the mobile operators, and maybe just a little point in fact here that I don't know if people on listening to us know that prepaid airtime was invented in South Africa first.
Well done.
Exactly. So well done to the South Africans there. I think we all forget about that.
There we go.
So back in the day that it was invented, I mean, so topping up your airtime was typically done through going and get a piece of paper, scratch off the voucher number and pump it into your phone, and then you're topped up. So now the most early adoption, I think, where we got critical mass of people using USSD was for topping up of airtime. So thanks to the mobile operators for creating this education, this awareness. So the literacy problems around, well, you say, well, who knows how to use USSD? Everybody pretty much knows.
Yep.
Across the emerging markets, pretty much in Africa, because everyone uses prepaid to top up their airtime, and they do that via USSD. So that's a very basic way, an implementation of using USSD to top up your airtime. So
I just want to jump in there. So for the listeners that aren't sure, we're talking about USSD. You've all seen that *120* *#* and a sequence of numbers. That is a USSD string. So just so you know, everyone kind of, oh yeah, and I've seen that on the Coke advert, and I've seen that on the, you know, the Edgar's voucher and so on. That's what we're talking about, or at least, you know, that's where Andrew sits at the moment. A question that has come through is the future of USSD technology in the smartphone market, because, you know, we're all chasing this holy grail. Now, you mentioned SMS when it started, and I'm led to believe the same applies for USSD, is that pretty much every phone supports it because that is what's keeping the phone connected to the networks.
Absolutely. So USSD is basically the most common denominator of bearers. So like SMS working on any phone, so does USSD. And thanks for communicating to the listeners. I mean, the whole *123 or star whatever it is, *123#. And we like to actually even bring it down to a simpler analogy and just call it star dial and the number, because we found that is actually even there where some of the consumers are having a bit of a block. So yeah, it's those numbers you see all over the place with star, a bunch of numbers, and then some numbers after it, enter this competition, etc., etc. That's some of the more basic implementations, and I'd like to get into some more detail about how we're using it and pushing it to its maximum capabilities in actual full-blown gaming on USSD.
Okay, now that's exciting. I'm going to stop you there. Igor, have you actually used USSD?
Not really. It's not really my thing, to be honest.
That's just interesting, because I know I have.
Yeah.
Muntu, you have? Okay. You need to talk into the mic, Muntu. You should know that, as my producer.
I have.
There we go. So, I mean, Andrew, I'm not going to ask you. You probably dream about stars removing themselves from 120s. But, you know, you say you haven't. You probably find you have. And that's the thing. Yeah. And that's what's so nice about it. Now, when B2 told me about inviting you onto the show to talk, I mean, he actually said from the gaming side. Now, we think gaming, and here I go again, back to Angry Birds, you know, USSD is about ones and twos and pushes and pulls and that kind of stuff. We're not seeing these full graphic interface games, or am I wrong?
No, you're spot on there. USSD is very limited in that regard in terms of the ability to. Sorry, I'm just handing my phone over to my co-host on the show over here, so you can see what USSD looks like on a phone. So getting back to your question about, what does it support, what doesn't it support? So certainly graphics and things of that nature, it is simply text-based. So it's SMS on steroids, if you want to call it that. It's fully interactive, as opposed to anything else. So no graphics can be supported per se. So it is purely text-based, and therefore you have to be very creative in how you go about structuring, the platform itself, and then certainly the games thereafter. And we can talk about more detail about some of the campaigns we've run for big brands, and for product awareness, teaching people how to be banked if they're unbanked, the benefits, and it's very, very rich in what you can do.
Well, that was the other thing. I mean, I've seen USSD for payments. I've seen, using for money transfers and data transfer. And I think, again, for those that haven't used it, and maybe even Eagle for your benefit, the whole thing with USSD is it's a push and a pull. So a message will come to your phone and it gives you a choice. Push one to say yes, push two to say no. And then you push the number and it goes away and it comes back again. So it's this up and down, for lack of a better. I'm looking at a mobile slut and I'm going up and down. Can you just face the other way there? So, basically, when you start talking about games, I'm assuming then you're talking about a quiz type environment, or you're talking about, questionnaires, trivia.
Yeah, we have a full bouquet of games, about 15 games in the catalog. I won't rattle them off. But yeah, your typical trivia, unscramble of words, battle trivia, which is actually multiplayer. So it's actually multiplayer.
So you have more than one person connected via the same channel.
And I can challenge you. So basically then it's a full gaming platform that we've built. It's not just a bespoke one-off. It's an actual gaming platform with your normal leaderboard. So who's the top of the leaderboard?
Wow, that's awesome.
Exactly. And multiplayer. So I can challenge you to do battle trivia, which means, it can be a trivia word, and it's who answers and guesses the trivia the fastest then wins, and then I'm one up on you. So that's one example of how we implement USSD in a very clever, full-on gaming universe, if you want to call it that. And in fact, the future is that we will have a gaming platform, whether you're in Nigeria or Kenya or South Africa, you can actually play against one gaming universe. That is the ultimate vision.
Okay, now that was a question, because I've tried to do USSD campaigns before, and the stumbling block that I've had is the inter-network operability. Now remember, if we rewind back to the early days, you could only send a text to an MTN number, or to enter this competition, if you're on MTN, click here. If you're on USSD, seems to have that limitation at the moment, or am I mistaken?
It does have that limitation. I mean, but the actual gaming kind of cloud, the way that we host our games, would allow for us to allow these competitions to play across continents, if you want to call it that. So you still don't have the ability to have one universal number. That is a limitation. But certainly, we envision this one gaming universe. So you might have Star 123 in Nigeria and Star 123.5 in South Africa, but they can be playing the same game, competing the same battle trivia across continent.
All right. So I'm going to pause USSD for now for a second, and now I'm going to go like so opposite. And for anyone that knows me, they know that shoes are quite something I enjoy. So, when I first came across the newness, and you've just mentioned it now with the sneakers that you can get pre-order and that, and yeah. I know a few people that would be in that queue.
Yeah.
Igor, take us through, I know you can't take us through the mechanics per se, and you can't tell us how you do it, but you've obviously identified the need or the want. And there's a very big difference. I mean, my mentor always says to me, do you need it or do you want it? Now, your business is definitely a want. I mean, no one needs a million rand pair of shoes, let's say.
Depends who you ask, yeah.
Well, there we go, I mean, we all know that Andrew can afford a million rand pair of shoes. But, you're creating a need here. You're going to create a desire, and that's that's going to become a need. How does this platform work? Take us through the mechanics of what we need to do.
Sure. I mean, it's interesting that you use the word queue, right? Because effectively what we're doing is we're taking that queue that exists in front of the iPhone store when the new iPhone is launched. We're taking that queue that exists in front of the Nike store when the new Jordans are launched. And we're putting that queue online. So that need is already there.
Yep.
We're not creating that need. What we're doing is we're satisfying bottlenecked supply with hyper demand. And what we're doing is effectively we asked ourselves, why is it that we can't get the products that we love? And the services that we love. It's not just sneakers. Think about something extreme, like let's bring Beyonce to market. Why is the most successful female artist in the world not coming to South Africa, right? And it boils down to risk. It's you know, it's a money issue. So what the newness really is it's a platform that de-risks supply for whoever's bringing the supply, and allows the consumer to provide a credible signal of demand. So you love whatever it is. So let's stick with something simple and say sneakers, because there's a lot of sneakerheads out there. And you know, let's just say the new Yeezy 750s that are dropping. And we know if you go to the Adidas store on the day of the drop, there's going to be a queue out there. And chances are you are not going to get it, because releases are tacit. There are time and place. You got to be there. And if you're in studio with me right now, you're not going to be able to be in that line.
Sure.
So the newness says, okay, let's find a way that is sort of more efficient of allocating resources to people who want it. If we can put that line, that queue online, and have people say, hey, I will put down money. So literally I'm putting money behind, behind my needs. So putting your money, your wallet behind, you know, your desires, and I'll give you guys a credible signal that I want this, then we'll give it to you. The brand, on the other hand, they use that credible signal as an indication of demand. So think of it as a like button, but instead of a normal like button, which costs you nothing, this like button costs you something.
Okay, so you mentioned the fact that it has a social network component to it as well.
Yeah.
Are you saying on the basis that I'm going to be able to go into my normal Facebook page and say, hey, I just pre-booked the new Yeezy 30s or whatever it is? Or are you looking to actually create or have created a social network of your own, and you're looking to keep these type of people on your network?
Yeah, we'll do that for you. I mean, you know, we integrate with Facebook and Instagram and all that, but the point is about, you know, going on Facebook and saying, hey, I just bought it, is that it's not credible, you know? When you go on someone's Instagram account and they're posing in front of, I don't know, a really, really dope car or a fancy watch, it's not necessarily true that they actually bought that watch,
right,
or that it's theirs. So in providing, you know, a platform where you put your money behind your mouth, it also provides a credibility as to what you're doing. So as soon as you buy something, we can let people know XYZ just bought XYZ, and we can start to actually trend and rank people according to the value, the frequency of their purchases. So what Twitter does for news in terms of trends, we'll do for people in terms of the ability to be early adopters and buy into pop culture.
All right, so I think probably one of the first questions that would jump to mind is skepticism.
Yep.
You know, the South African public, and I mean the public around the world, but more so in Africa and South Africa, where online is quite new. I mean, I've had a few shows we've discussed this. I don't know the newness.
Yeah.
I've been searching these pair of sneakers. I come across your site because your SEO is really good, and now I'm asked to drop $1,000 or $3,000 or whatever the price is. I mean, it's irrelevant. You're asking me to put money into a site,
sure,
on the hope that I'm going to get something. Take us through that journey. Like, what are you doing to make me feel comfortable that I can trust you? But more importantly, what guarantees do I have if I don't get my shoes, or I don't see Beyonce, or anything like that?
Right. I mean, it's a real problem. Every single platform that you launch, whether it's here or this in the U.S., for sophisticated market or not sophisticated market, you're going to have the problem of trust and security. That's a fact. The first thing is that we're a platform. So just like Instagram is a platform, we're not providing you the product. Actually, the retailer or the brand is providing you the product. So you're not dealing with the newness. What you actually, the newness is simply connecting supply and demand. So if you have an issue, it's the first thing that it's not with us, it's actually with the provider. So let me give you an example. I'm not gonna mention a client name,
but
let's just say we take brand X, and brand X wants to provide, you know, a particular product to the South African market. And what we do is we go to BrandX and we say, hey, look, we think there's demand for this. BrandX said, okay, let's test it out. So BrandX will do the entire campaign, and they're actually responsible for the fulfillment of that product. Just like, for instance, if you were to go onto Kickstarter, the person that's doing the campaign is responsible for fulfillment of that product. In this case, the brands are established businesses with an existing supply chain. So it is their business to supply the product. What they need from you is some sort of credibility. Having said that, we need to provide other signals of credibility, naturally. You know, the first thing is, in terms of simply being a credible platform, it's definitely a platform that is powered and partnered with MTV. So from a media perspective, our official partner is MTV, so we have a really credible association over there. And in terms of the people that actually provide content and product onto the newness themselves, they're completely vetted. So they have to be 100% registered partners, registered companies with a clear record. And should they have any history of not providing product as and when they claim to do so, just as you would on eBay, they get a ranking and they get thrown off the platform if they don't fulfill that. Because naturally, as a platform, we have an incentive to take care of the consumer and the client at the same time. So, you know, our consumers are more than welcome, obviously, to rank the clients and to contact the newness should there be any issues. Our mandate is to make sure we can supply and demand and make sure that that supply gets to the person. So in terms of that delivery mechanism, that's where we oversee and simply connecting supply and demand. So, yeah, I think that's basically the primary part of it.
Well, you mentioned MTV. That's quite a big media company worldwide, not just here.
Yeah.
Is this a worldwide relationship, or is the newness focused on South Africa, or is there – the different markets? How's this working?
Well, we have global ambitions, but we want to start with Africa, and the reason for that is pretty obvious. When it comes to places like Africa or Brazil or Russia, these are places where you have increasingly people that have disposable income, and they want to express that in terms of pop culture, and they don't have the supply mechanism as you would have in the UK or the US. So there's a natural pent-up demand in those regions for products. So we're going to start with Africa, the focus of South Africa and Nigeria. And we'll expand from there. But really, our focus is on what people might call developing nations, or nations that are sort of in the middle tier. So definitely a Brazil, a Russia, a Turkey, a South Africa, a Nigeria.
So it's the BRICS, basically.
The BRICS, I mean, effectively, yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, Andrew, we're sitting here with USSD, which is our base form, the target that the newness is going for is every single client or country of, you know, the clients that you have. And yet we couldn't be more polar opposite if we tried. You know, and USSD guys are sitting there looking at rands and cents and considering data consumption. And on the newness side, we're talking thousands and thousands of rands for experience. Is there an app and a website and all that all live, ready, good to go?
Yeah, so what we have is a web application. We don't want to produce an Android or iOS app until the value proposition is obviously stable, because one thing that's true in a startup, you know, it's not like a corporate app. We change things on the site every day. As we get feedback, we change and alter. So we need that sort of flexibility to add, alter, and change as we get data, as we get feedback. So a mobile application gives us that ability. So it's completely mobile responsive. The site is thenewness.com. And, you know, check it out on any device that allows you to connect to the internet.
Yeah, see, I think we're seeing a big trend there. I mean, I know you've done integration between, I'm going to call it PCs and Macs and USSD. I mean, I've seen some of those activations. But that is the holy grail, is to be able to get to people on every single device, but more importantly, the common denominator device.
Yeah, I think you made a really good point there. I think, you know, it is these two, you know, this is Africa, the emerging markets, BRICS. We're also very active in South America as well. We launched with one of the mobile operators there, a huge around Copa Cup. soccer club.
I was going to say, knowing you, cool. There had to be some event like Carnival or something yep. that you had to go there for a business meeting. Full tax deduction.
I wish I could say I'd been there. Actually, Richard Walton, my partner, okay. due to go there next.
He was supposed to come, but he's in Cape Town. So, you know, just to get him here is like hard enough.
So we're going to send him to South America. But okay. getting back to the money, the rich, you know, this kind of like the yeah. newness. I've been on the site, by the way, really awesome. I've just signed on, logged on, seamless, used my Facebook, and it was just magic in seconds. I was logged on, so cool. nice job done there, I think.
Cool, thank you.
But how do we take that and put it onto USDD? That's the question.
Well, I wanted the two of you together, because at the end of the day, everyone's yeah. going to go to their tangible thing, yeah. you yeah. know, which is their device.
Yeah. Well, I think you mustn't confuse people using something like USDD, and I think to getting to the affordability, you know, USDD is actually, you know, the success of USDD, and I think we didn't talk about this in terms of how it's got to where it is today. And again, hats off to some of the mobile operators. Why it wasn't successful historically, it's been around since the beginning of mobile, GSM mobile in Africa. But why wasn't it successful? Because they were charging for it per session. So the business, the commercial model was broken. So now they're zero rating that access bearer, and they're charging subscription, or brands are paying for it for free. So getting to your world, which is the brand. So I can see, you know, something like the newness wanting to advertise on our channel just because it's cheap, affordable, okay, doesn't mean the people who are using it don't have money.
And I think that's such an important – I mean, you know, this is such a – that's such a nice thing about being here in South Africa, or probably even Africa, is that you see people that you perceive to have nothing – you know, because they've got a Nokia 3310 or whatever. But that's a choice. They don't want a smartphone. They don't want their email on the fly. I don't know why, but they don't. Yeah. But their bank balances have got all the zeros in the right place.
And they might want those sneakers.
Correct.
You know, and they've got the money for those sneakers. So I think that's one of the things that we must demystify about the African emerging markets, is just because they don't tie up their money in airtime and smartphones doesn't mean they don't want the next hot pair of sneakers or something.
But I'm going to jump in there. Now, as someone that does use a smartphone, I must say that the USSD experience for me is not good. You know, when you're holding a device that's designed about UI and UX, you expect everything it does to be slick and sexy. Now, I have to use USD at times for various reasons, whether it's loading up airtime into a prepaid SIM for a campaign we're doing or something like that. But I must say that the experience is really not good. Now, the fact that the USSD guys yourselves, obviously, can integrate into top-end and top-tier back-end CMS technology, why can't these guys get it to work on a phone and make it sexy?
Yeah, you know? not enough hours in the day, definitely on the wish list. Okay. So yeah, I mean, we you know.
Am I having a go at you now? I thought maybe it was just the default of the, come on, Andrew, make it sexy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fair criticism, and I think, you know, work opportunities there actually, and I don't want to speak for some of the things I'm exposed to, because I'm obviously connected at some awesome levels, and there are some guys playing around in that space, so maybe watch the space. We certainly don't have it on our immediate radar, but basically what you're saying is doing a nice sexy overlay on top of the USSD menu for smartphone users, and maybe there's an app for that.
I mean, if I take the newness, for example, you've been to the site, I've been to the site, I've looked at some of the collateral, the impact is there. You see, as this page opens, wow, I want that. Now, if there was a USSD string to get me there, that whole experience should be able to be,
that'd be cool.
Be replicated on my device. So split the screen, etc. And I see you nodding, and I know that these things are the pipeline. But the big win for me with USSD is, how do we make it global? How do we make it that everyone, and you were talking about that earlier, about how you can play games against each other. Take me through that, because I think that is the start of when we'll be sitting in a year's time. We'll go, remember that chat we had? Well, now look what you can do. Now you can do this. Now I'd really like to understand. I know we might be going a bit more technical than normal, but sure. I'd really like to understand how you get that to work.
Yeah, I think I'd love to be having this conversation a year from now, because we just see so much demand right now. It's actually running out of hours in the day, like I said. So, you know, at first we didn't know what we had. And we've done a few pilots, a few tests, and the uptake and the response has just been phenomenal. So right now it's just basically how fast can we deploy in all the markets that we're wanting to deploy. And I'm talking India, I'm talking most parts of Africa, South America. So it's definitely emerging markets, okay? Let's not kid each other. So I think in terms of the ability to do multiplayer, that exists today. So we're on the Vodacom network, we're on the MTN network here locally in South Africa, and we're in Zimbabwe, Malawi, probably, you know, Mozambique, not too far away, you know, in Dar, Tanzania, and Nigeria, you know, Kenya to follow. So in definitely the normal countries that you'd expect where USSD would be popular in those countries, and then India, like I mentioned. So, the response has been phenomenal. So, but yeah, it's like they want the games. I want cricket. I don't want soccer. So it's about getting that local content, and our platform itself supports that. Getting to the technical part. So whether it's a soccer game or a cricket game or chess or whatever it might be, the gaming platform itself is built in such a way we can drop any game on top of it per se. So it's just a framework. So if it's Unscramble, Battle Trivia, Noughts and Crosses, Tic-Tac-Toe, things like that. You know, we can get even more complex games. We built banking games, you know, to teach financial literacy. So how do you make that fun? We were able to do that. So I don't know if that really answers your question in terms of, you know, the capabilities.
It does. I think the other question that I have, which will maybe explain the non-willingness, or maybe it is just ignorance, but, I mean, as you know, I travel quite a bit as well as do you. I mean, we've bumped into each other in airports before. But
too often.
Yeah. When I speak to people, and I hate using the first world discussion, but let's say America or Australia, which, you know, is a first world evolved mobile market, they don't know what I'm talking about. Now, is it hard for their networks to actually deploy USSD? Is it that they're not really interested, or is it because there are no more feature phones in that market so they don't care? What is your finding on that?
So working backwards from no feature phones in those markets to care, pretty much so. No application. So if there was like this killer application, then they would probably use it. You know, if it was to vote Donald Trump out. The USSD app.
There's the applause. And the applause button, voting Donald Trump out. Okay.
So yeah, we build this really cool USSD app for America to, you know, vote Donald Trump out. Maybe that will be successful. So create the need, like you said before. Do I want it? And so we create. So I think it's not going to really happen in those markets. It's, you know, we're not kidding ourselves. Our window, in terms of, you know, the feature phone crossover. I mean, you know, we're reaching already 60%, 50% here in SA, debatable. I was talking to some guys earlier today in Cairo, in Egypt. You know, feature phones everywhere there, but there's still a massive market. I was in Cairo a couple of weeks ago, and I was there a year before that. And we're gonna do stuff there. I mean, there's definitely an opportunity for games and sponsored games and USSD marketing on our platform in those kinds of markets. So the developed markets, America, and those really the UK, you know, London, not gonna happen. I mean, so wouldn't even want to try to educate them. And I think just one final point on that. I spoke to a massive content owner and a massive brand. I'm not going to mention the name because you'll be embarrassed. And I mentioned the word USSD, the acronym, to this person I've known for years and years and years, and launched SMS services here in this country. Stop trying to guess. Cause you'll get on it. And it's like ABC. But yeah, anyway. So without giving it away. And I mentioned this person, head of content in emerging markets, USSD, and put their content onto USSD. And she kind of looked at me. It was like, USS what? And for me, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to even bother.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, it's crazy. It's, you know.
So let me ask you another question. And I'm using the newness as an example, because we really are polar opposites with a common client. So we all know USSD for airtime and promotions, you know, to win this competition, Star 120 Ash. Those are the two things. But you mentioned you're working with ad networks and that. Now, is this being done? And if it isn't, I expect my commission check in the mail. But would you be able to use, well, let me take a step back. When I did SMS campaigns many years ago, we used to put like a detect or sniff code in that if you click from a device, we could read what you were coming in on. It was a iPhone 3 with version 3 of Firefox, etc. And we knew we could render an experience that was made for that phone. And the same as if it was a feature phone, we'd go to WAP. You're nodding and you know who I'm talking about that used to do all of that stuff. Could we be using USSD to find potential markets, and then when they engage by pushing one or two or three, deliver them or handshake them off to thenewness.com or wherever it is.
Yeah, well, we're busy with that. I mean, we just came back from Barcelona and
stop rubbing it in.
We missed you. We missed you this year. It was a bit chilly.
It was quiet.
It was very quiet, dude. Actually, when I got down to the baggage claim and you weren't there, I was like, what am I to do? Who am I to share a cab with? We had some very fruitful meetings and talking to some ad networks who offer this rich advertising, inventory to big brands, etc. And what they don't have is a little tick box when you go to buy a campaign with them that says text, this basic. But to answer your question, yes, if somebody is coming and discovering through our UCD channel, and it's a marketing type survey, you're interested in sports, soccer, yes, cool. Are you interested in sports, where? Yes. And then automatically we're doing profiling, we're doing segmentation on the fly. So then obviously it's a potential, client, customer, consumer for the newness. And then at that stage, kick in what you just said there. Okay, ping the phone, sniff the phone. Okay, hit it. Yep. What phone is he using, she using? And if it is a rich device, then render the advert, the commercial, the content in the packaged format. If it's rich, depending on the device that they're using, yes. So definitely long answer is yes.
That's fantastic. Okay, but now, and here's always the holy grail, and I'm wearing my marketing hat here. You must get a million phone calls. Have you got a database? Have you got a list of phone numbers that I can buy from you and do some marketing? And obviously with Poppy and CPA and all those type of things, you can't. But you obviously can see what the number is when people engage with you, and you can obviously create profiles. So the question that I actually have to ask is, can you help brands that are in startup phases? Okay, so you're showing me a dashboard.
Yeah. So, I mean, we got very sophisticated, tracking dashboards, monitoring what game, who, where. I mean, this thing's ticking over. You can see who's engaging. And that's just a little sniff of what we've got. I mean, we do. We currently aren't. I mean, we are very, very cognizant of the Poppy. We take the high road. We're not up for one of these guys. You've clicked on a survey, and next thing you're getting called by all these like weird, wonderful people at some strange hour.
And winning the lottery.
Absolutely. I've won it. Yeah, I'm sure. we're not about that. Okay. So I think we just set the record straight. We know who we're talking about. That's not who we're about. We believe in providing entertainment, affordable, fun entertainment to the masses, okay, and to deliver value for them, okay, and be it in terms of advertising, relevant, contextualized, okay, and we do have the database, but we certainly are not going to make that available in any weird and wonderful way to people that the consumer wouldn't benefit. So he's opted in. I want to get some information about the coolest, funkiest, hottest stuff that's about to hit the market, not even about to hit the market, before it hits the market. I want to know about it. Okay, opt in. Boom. So then we will then send them an advert about the newness,
Is it just SA or?
We're in Malawi. Okay.
Your database extends throughout all those countries.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. All those countries. Yeah. And growing as fast as we can get to it. I mean, like I say, Egypt is on the list as well. And South America is growing great guns. And then the Caribbean. So Digicel and places like that.
Awesome.
So now my last question that goes towards this, and I stand corrected, but I'm of the opinion that the Mixit social network was run on an almost USSD type layer. They were successful. They didn't evolve. They did evolve. I mean, I'm not going to go down that road now. But in theory, could you create a community off USSD? Because you were talking about being able to have multiplayer games. Is that something that's happened, not going to happen again, going to happen?
We got the ability. There's an API. We can basically enable, non-Twitter. So to access Twitter, you have to have a data connection. So USSD is not data dependent, okay? So we could create a bridge between Twitter and USSD. So you could actually create a Twitter for USSD. We can do that. We've done the test. It's possible. So creating social networks for our community, and there are ways. We have chat rooms and things like that already in our gaming platform. So absolutely, it can be done.
That's cool. Perfect. Right, so I'm gonna actually go back onto Eagle now, because
thanks,
Bridge. I'm intrigued about when I'm getting my new sneakers. So the thing is, you say you've started here in South Africa.
We're starting this Friday.
Oh, okay. Wow. So you see, the Futurology show.
Good luck.
We even got information before we've started on stuff that hasn't come out yet that you could get.
Yeah.
I think round of applause, on that one.
Yeah, I think there's a round of applause button there somewhere. Where's our round of applause button? Push the button for me there. There we go. Nice one. So it's Friday you launch.
Yeah, we're launching this Friday. We got some really, really exciting stuff. Some of the things that we have launched globally, but are just inaccessible. So there's, just to break it down, there's two types of products. Both are inaccessible. It's either pre-release, right? So basically you can't buy it because it hasn't been launched. Or it's been globally released and is not locally accessible. So there's, you know, when you travel, there's hundreds of things that you want that you can't really get locally. So we de-risk that for the brand or for the retailer, and we provide it to the market, given a credible signal by the consumer.
Okay. And do you need a credit account? I mean, Andrew, you were saying you were logged in with Facebook and it was simple. I mean, most of these AOS work nowadays.
Yeah.
If you create the account, do you have to put credit card details? Is it one of those type of environments, or do you not worry about putting things in until you're actually ready to book something or try and pre-order? Just take us through mechanics of, I mean, come Friday, what's going to happen? MTV is going to go wild. It's going to be a big event. There's going to be, you know, this is what you can do. Do you already have to have your accounts, or if you're not online already, are you at risk of not getting what you're trying to get? I'm trying to get to that whole queue mentality.
Sure.
So in other words, what I was saying is, you use the example of standing outside an Apple store. I've done that.
Yeah.
Okay. I have done that. but everyone's laughing at me. I actually did it for software. I didn't do it for the phone, if that makes me get a bit more credibility.
You're such a techie. Yeah.
You know what it was? Okay. We digress, but you know what it was? It was New York. You know the big glass building?
In New York, yeah.
And they launched Lion. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And you couldn't get Lion in South Africa for months. Okay. Futurology, Techie, for $29.95, I stood in the freaking queue, okay, and it was worth every single cent.
How long?
No, it wasn't bad. It was about 3 hours, because they came down the queue. They came down the queue with their little card machines, and they had like a backpack, and they were just handing them out while you paid.
We do digital as well, so it's not just about physical products, you know, it's about software, as you mentioned, so... or gaming as well. Gaming is a big one, naturally.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I mean, if let's say there is a really special iOS that's coming out and it's limited edition, and Apple wants to test it out, and they would do a limited release on the newness, and you could sort of download it straight from the platform. So yeah, it's everything from physical products to services, concerts, things like that. Yeah.
All right. So that's something we actually didn't look at earlier on, is that, you know, we've been hyping up now about like sneakers. That's really exciting, because, you know, there's certain things that are affordable and there's certain things that aren't affordable. Let's just call it as it is.
Yeah.
When we look at these people with their games, like what's the new one that's coming out? Call of Duty, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, the guys have been going to BD Games in these shops and like queuing just to, and it's the funniest thing. There's a shelf. Remember the old days of CDs? Do you remember those days? There's like shelves with these like laminated cards on them, and you go there and you like grab the card and you go to the front and you pay for the card and you don't get to keep the card, and hopefully you get your game. What I was trying to say though is that when I queue, I'm guaranteed to get the thing. Pretty much.
When
I mean,
you queue on the newness.
What I'm saying, when I'm standing outside that Apple store, they come put like a cordon behind you,
whoever
it is, and say, "Well, I'm sorry, but we don't have enough units for you."
Yeah.
On the newness, okay. Let's say 1,000 users jump on now to get the new. You've got one copy of Batman versus Superman's game. How does your system work to?
Yeah.
To like rate it? Is it a bidding environment? Do I have to pay more to get it? Do you, you know, I'm intrigued.
That's a great question. I mean, a lot of these things, again, startup mode, we're going to test and see what works. There is a surge mechanism that we're thinking of implementing, just very much like Uber, you know, so the prices kind of go up as demand increases. But we're starting off with a flat fee. What we'll do is the brand will have like a campaign target, and that's the case whether it's the real world or not, in the sense that if you're going into a store, there's basically a limited amount of volume that the store can hold. They have shelf life, basically. So the newness doesn't have that constraint. And not only does it not have that constraint, what we can do is we can test sequentially over time. So the brand might say, we're going to start with a release of 50 items. And once that is validated, we're going to release the next 50. Once that is validated, we will release 1,000, and we'll see what happens, perhaps in a different color or a different variation, whatever it is. And once it's been completely validated, then we'll release in store. So it's in a sense, it's up to the brand what they release. There is a sense of exclusivity about what you buy. So it's not as if, you know, it's not like an Amazon where you go on and everyone that's on there is just going to get it. It is limited in that sense.
All right, so sure. I'm just trying to think of ways that I could you can cheat the system here. I mean, can you imagine like, well, I got on there first? Because no, but why I bring that up is, do you remember when big concerts used to do those like pre-sales of their tickets? You know what I mean? Like if you go on at 8 o'clock in the morning or whatever, then all of a sudden the server crashes and you've been sitting there and waiting and waiting and waiting, and then you get this like 404 error, page falling over, and by the time you get back on, you've got like, you're sitting with God. I mean, you're at the back of, in fact, you're not even in the stadium. You're standing outside in the tent. You know, how do you avoid that? Because, yeah. I mean, let's be honest, it's a new business.
Sure.
You're putting out the holy grail of stuff. Because I mean, it's not going to be stuff that you can get anywhere else. You've said that.
Yeah.
How do you avoid that disappointment? I mean, what's the expectation for a person that comes on?
I mean, okay, so there's three types of campaigns. The short answer to your question is you segment it. Okay, so you segment it in terms of types of campaigns and geographically. In other words, when I release, because it's the internet, the great thing about it is we can decide when we release to whom. So we can literally geolocate a campaign for Sandton users, and we can do, let's say, Cape Town an hour later. So it doesn't necessarily have to be everybody on the campaign at the same time. That's the first thing.
Okay.
The second thing is, there's three types of campaigns. There's what we call a secret campaign. Number two is a segmented campaign, and number three is a public campaign. I'll explain these. So the first secret campaign is, Nike says, hey, we want to do this campaign, but there's a couple of people that we want to show this to first. Perhaps it's our loyal customers. We have them on our database. And we're going to show that campaign to those people only first. Okay. And that's the benefit of being sort of that Nike customer. After that, we want to open up the campaign, but to a limited amount of consumers. And they tell us we want to target 18 to 35-year-olds living in Nigeria, have previously bought XYZ worth of value. Okay, so we do that next.
Okay.
And then after that, they might say we want to open it up to the public. So my point is, if you open it up to everybody at the same time, you are in danger of causing...
Sure, and that's what I'm saying, because that would be the worst thing in the world. It's like I sit up all night waiting, and then bang.
And number two, you're not actually proving anything. In other words, we're like a research house. So, you know, Nike in that sense wants to test how 18 to 35-year-olds spending XYZ living in Lagos, how they respond.
Right.
And once they found that out, they can now sit at a leveraged position and say, okay, let's test out the next segment, or let's cut this campaign short, or let's move on to another type of product. So it really is about saying, how can we segment what we do and market intelligently and validate intelligently, and which is also cool because it's a little bit more exclusive.
Cool. We're going to get to some concluding comments here, Andrew. I'm still waiting for you to explain this game multiplayer thing to me, which you haven't done, but it seems like it's a bit of a secret. But... the question that I need to ask you, and if you can't answer it, I understand. But it refers to 20 cents per 20 seconds when they talk about USSD. I'm yet to see that charge. Now, I know you can't say you'll never get charged, blah, blah, but is it not in the network's interest to charge? Is it that they can't charge? Are you not allowed to say anything? I've never seen a charge that says USSD on my bill.
It depends what one of those USD codes. So if it's *120, that'll determine whether or not it's paid for or if it's free. Okay, a lot of the a lot of the services you access for the mobile operator, so you're topping up your airtime or you're doing this, that is zero rated. So a lot of those services, when you're topping up your airtime, you're doing banking, right, those are traditionally zero rated. Okay, so it's not the 20 cents per.
Yeah, so I'm talking like a beer campaign, you know, win a UEFA experience, blah, blah, blah.
No. If it's on one of the charged for, billed for USD streams, you'll see in the small T's and C's that, yeah, you know, you are billed. I mean, it's such a small amount, but you are billed, okay? And, you know, with some of our average game time is 9 minutes to 30 minutes, okay? Gaming session time, longest recorded game time that we recorded to date, 15 hours on USSD. Can you believe it? Okay. Wow. On, yeah, exactly. 15 hours. And,
it has to be a feature phone. The battery wouldn't last that long on a smartphone.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think getting back to your question about, you know, the multiplayer, it's actually very, very simple. I mean, you literally are playing across a network and you are, both simultaneously playing the, let's say it's the, I was actually brought two phones and I was going to actually play a game with you, but
we have to do that outside.
We'll take it offline, but, it's real. It's not smoke and mirrors. I mean, this is not yeah. I mean, this is actually part of our offering today. You can play it on MTN. You can play it on Vodacom today. You know, there's no smoke and mirrors there. I mean, it's available. It's not a to come feature. It exists today. There's nothing really, too special about it. The fact that it is true multiplayer on USSD. And I think that what people have failed to really understand, and I think wrapping up in summarizing, is, you know, we were too blown away very, very pleasantly at just the adoption or just the willingness to engage on the USSD channel. I mean, people know about it, they top up their airtime every day with it. I mean, you know, there was very little learning literacy we had to deal with. These people just got it, okay, and the numbers have been phenomenal. I'll show you the dashboard over there. The numbers are flying. So, you know, we're just really, really, really grateful that that we found this little gap in the market, and we're gonna take it to take every opportunity we can get, and hopefully, like I say, ultimately give the consumers really cool value entertainment for little money.
Now, on a campaign side, you know, you set up that *120 hash. Is that like a smart number where you can actually own it as a brand, or is it something that's just generated like each time you set up a new campaign? Because that was something that I really liked about Shortcode. You know, I could have the word, send the word rent to 12345. These numbers are like uber long. Yeah. You know,
now you are predating yourself in the telco space.
Oops.
The estimated Shortcode market. You know, and those days are kind of really over. I think the where you'll see it going is this a very funky number like *123 or *, you know, that or play or something. You know, they haven't doled out those numbers yet. Will it come? I think, will we create the demand for that to be something they'll do? We'll see. But I mean, for now, it's numbers that are easy. You know, that you can remember very easily. There aren't, to my knowledge, any numbers you can get out there what Shortcode USD dials that are, you know, Cliff Central or whatever that spells out on your phone, or you know, games, or you can't own those numbers like you used to be in the SMS short days. So yeah, long answer is no, they're not. There's nothing that sophisticated about the USSD number allocation yet. It's basically almost random.
All right, so I think to wrap it up, USSD is not going anywhere. In fact, it's growing. Okay, I'm getting the nod here. Friday's the big day,
yep,
to make sure that we're all cool and in the queue. And, well, in fact, we're not in the queue. We're behind a mouse somewhere or a screen. A single pane of glass. Isn't that a cool description for any screen? Yeah. Love it. And then, yeah, as per always, until next time, keep your screens clean and your knobs shiny.
This is CliffCentral.com.